Well, Australia is world famous in 2026 for its trailblazing law to ban social media for under 16s. But there is another new law aimed at protecting children online that's in the pipeline. On the 31st of March, the Office of the Australian Information Commissioner released a draft Children's Online Privacy Code for public comment. It says that the code offers cutting-edge approaches to privacy protection for children, and it would apply much more broadly than the social media ban. To discuss the nascent Children's Online Privacy Code, we're joined this morning by Australia's Privacy Commissioner, Carly Kind. Commissioner, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you, Julian. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, you're seeking feedback on the draft code until the 5th of June before it's registered on the 10th of December this year. What are the privacy protections currently for children online in Australia, and how would this code change things?
Great question. So the Privacy Act covers all businesses in Australia, as well as all Commonwealth government agencies. And it doesn't make any mention of children at all, actually, currently. So there's no specific protections for children, just general protections for the Australian community. And the other part that's important to know is that it's pretty well recognised that it's quite out of date, the Privacy Act. And so there's been a long-running effort to reform it and improve it. And a lot of that work is yet to be done. But the first cab off the rank, as it were, is to give our office the mandate to develop this code so that the Privacy Act contains child-specific protections. And that's really in recognition of the vulnerability that children face generally, but also in recognition of just how digitized their lives are becoming. From birth, our children's personal information is ending up in apps, websites, tools, whether that be photo sharing apps or the apps that daycare centres use to check in kids, right the way through to educational tools in schools, games, and of course, social media. And yet there's no child-specific privacy protections under the current Australian law. So that's really what we're working on, is asking what specific protections do we need to make sure that children's information is handled with extra care when they go online.
And it sounds like when the code comes in, children will actually have much stronger privacy protection than adults as the reform process continues. Commissioner, this code doesn't restrict or limit children's participation in online spaces. And in that sense, it seems to be quite a different approach from the very well-known social media ban. Is that a fair comment?
I think it's different. I think it's complementary in many ways, Julian, in the sense that I think with the social media ban, government have identified the most harmful and unsafe places on the internet to restrict children from. With this code, we're aiming to say everywhere else kids go online, their data should be protected with the most robust of protections. And not only where kids go, but where their information goes, that may be because their parents are putting their information in certain places online, for example, you know, enrolling them in apps and elsewhere. So we're really trying to, as you say, cover a much broader ecosystem and landscape, and really kind of uplift the protections in all of those remaining places where they're not restricted from going, often where they have to go because they're participating in schools or clubs or other things. And we're really setting the bar much higher in those places.
And I think you used the phrase everywhere else there. Is that how broadly it applies? It's basically whatever kids are doing, that this code would apply to them?
The code certainly applies to anything that's directed at children, so child-friendly games, children's apps and educational tools, etc. It also applies where children are likely to access online services, and that's a kind of qualitative assessment that is based on, you know, is the tool appealing to children? Does it include imagery, etc., that might attract children? Does a service know that they have a significant amount of child users? And a range of other factors would have to go into that. And then it also applies to services whose primary functions are about processing children's information. So there we're thinking about the providers of apps to daycare centres and other institutions that are really primarily focused on children's information. So yes, it does cover a broad range of services. It won't be every entity maintaining a website. And one of the obligations that the code implies is for entities to take reasonable steps to know when they do have children on their site. So it's not a matter of having kind of plausible deniability that you haven't asked and therefore you're not covered by the code. There is an obligation there to find out if you are servicing children. And if you are, you have two choices, really. You can apply the protections in the code to everyone. And as you say, those protections are robust and in many cases higher than are otherwise afforded under the Privacy Act. Or you can apply the protections specifically to children.
Oh, that's interesting. So it could well be that by introducing the code just for children, it'll raise the bar for everyone.
Certainly one of our hopes, yes.
Right, yeah, yeah. We're speaking with the Privacy Commissioner on Sunday Extra about the exposure draft of the Children's Online Privacy Code. And Commissioner, the OIAC says that a lot of the code is equivalent to the UK's age-appropriate design code, but also it refers to novel protections. What are the main novel protections in this online privacy code for children, and what's the rationale for them?
So one of the really key new approaches we've taken in this code that isn't in the UK equivalent is to set up a two-step consent process, which says if you require the consent of children to collect their personal information. And as an important side note, that is not always the case. That it's not the case that entities will always need children's consent. There's a lot of information that they can collect without consent. But if they do require consent because they're collecting particularly sensitive information, etc., they will often need to ask the children's parents. But what we've said here is that in asking the parents' consent, they should also ask for the child's assent.
Yeah, consent, assent. I wasn't familiar with that distinction, but yeah, it means that you're going to have to go to the kids as well.
Exactly. That kids should be told when their parents are consenting on their behalf and really be brought into that process, both so that they're aware, but also so that they start to get used to this process of what consent and handing over personal information and what that process looks like. And so when they do come to the right age of 15 or where they gain capacity, that they are more familiar with those kind of consent processes. And that's something that we have, we've been influenced by a New York law that's proposed this kind of approach. And we thought it was a really interesting way to give children some power and agency in the digital domain, but while also ensuring that they're protected by their parents' involvement. And another novel protection I would say that's in there is we've proposed that there should be, that children should always be notified when their location is being tracked on any device or app or service, even if that location is being tracked by their parents. So we know that lots of parents are using location tracking software to make sure that their children are safe and secure. And we think that children should be aware of that. Again, just to build knowledge and awareness of when these kinds of information are being collected about them, and also because we think that children, and particularly the older they get, do have a right to know that that kind of tracking is happening.
Now, Carly, I don't want to be too cynical, but I think it might be fair to say that there are plenty of adults who are pretty good at ignoring notifications from apps and the like. What steps will the code take to make sure that these notifications and requests for assent, as you've described it, will actually work for kids, be comprehensible and useful for people who are much younger?
Absolutely. I'd say two main facets of the code go to that issue. The first is that the code has a lot of requirements around speaking to children in child-friendly language and making sure that they can really understand what they're agreeing to, that all of the policies and procedures are portrayed to them in plain English and in ways that they understand. The second is that the code contains an obligation that when a child signs up for a service, the service can only collect information that is strictly necessary. So essentially the bare minimum information that it requires to enroll someone in, for example, to set up a profile on a streaming platform. They can really only ask for the bare minimum information. And then if they want other information, like information to personalise the provision of content, for example, or to deliver advertising, the child has to take proactive steps to go and turn that on. So we might think of that as like really high default privacy settings when a child starts to use a new digital tool. And again, we think that's really important because it will stop that kind of consent fatigue, terms and conditions fatigue that we all feel, that when you sign up for something new, you're presented with reams of pages about things that you have to agree to and you just click agree, because what choice do you really have if you want to use the service? Here we're saying that it should be a slightly fairer deal for kids when they're signing up to a service. They hand over the information, maybe just an email address that you have to have in order to use the service. And then if that provider wants more information, the child has to proactively go and choose to turn on those settings.
Reading the draft code, it certainly does seem like there are much more robust protections, and there's what's described as a right to destroy personal information, I think often referred to as a right to be forgotten. But you don't just have the right to request it. It has to be done within 30 days if you make the request. One thought I did have, though, Commissioner, is how would this code be enforced? What happens if service providers don't comply with the code?
So all of the enforcement powers that we have under the Privacy Act generally will be applicable to this code. So, and any contravention of the code is a contravention of the Privacy Act, for which our enforcement powers apply. And in that regard, that includes complaint handling functions. So we can receive complaints about non-compliance with the code that we can take enforcement action with respect to. We can also initiate investigations on the basis of our own intelligence or on the basis of tip-offs, which we often do. And we can also audit platforms and services as well. So we can go in and ask them a bunch of questions to see if they are complying with the law. And we have really quite robust enforcement powers and penalties, including the ability to seek civil penalties of up to $50 million per contravention of the Act. So we're pretty confident that the enforcement framework around the code is really robust and sufficient to incentivize compliance with it. Of course, we can't look under the hood of every entity operating, particularly in the digital domain, not least because our Act has extraterritorial effects. So we're looking at companies that are based abroad as much as we're looking at those based in Australia. But we're also pretty confident that protection of children's privacy has become a very, legitimate and well-established issue of good corporate behaviour in the last few years. And many of these companies are already complying with international comparators. So we think that we'd expect to see pretty good compliance with the code once it's registered at the end of the year.
Carly Kine, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you for having me.
That's Australia's Privacy Commissioner, Carly Kind, and the draft Children's Online Privacy Code is open for public consultation until the 5th of June.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.